Welcome to the final big panel of Ars Electronica 2008. And we have Bonnie on Skype here directly from Indonesia. What's the time now in Indonesia?
It's 8:19 a.m.
Okay, that's good, in the morning. So let's have a nice discussion and then you get some breakfast, okay? You have to promise me. It was a long night. When he had his talk today, it was 4 o'clock in the morning. So so you had at least 4 hours of sleep, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's the wonderful, big, glorious Ars Electronica closure panel. And actually, I don't have an interesting initial question. I think it would be pretty okay to talk about the interesting things you experienced in the last 2 or 3 days, and maybe if you have any additional comments. I guess it's a pretty open round. I don't want to set any goals. I just want to, let's have a free flow. I mean, we're in San Francisco. Let's have a free flow, okay? Is anyone interested in starting with the free flow? No one? Oh my. What? Where? No. Okay, good. So if there is no one here in the audience that wants to do the first step, I'll ask Bonnie in Indonesia. Okay. So Bonnie, you have not been here. I mean, you're telepresent,
yeah.
I guess.
And you were. So I've only been following through Twitter messages mostly and photos and listening to the MP3s that you put online.
I mean, that would be actually maybe a good starting point because we're talking about sex and science fiction. So hasn't sex and science fiction actually already arrived? I mean, what can happen again? I mean, what should happen? What do you think?
Excuse me?
Okay. I mean, you're far away. I mean, there's Arthur C. Clarke said in the early 1960s that the day there will be no long distance calls, that will be the day of that will be the day of world revolution. I mean, we are definitely not in a kind of like a world revolution mode in the moment, but still, I have a free call to you in Indonesia, and we can talk about sex and science fiction. So, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, the most special part is that this is not really expected quite like 50 years ago. So I think the same will happen in sex technologies.
Okay. Good. Okay, there is.
Well, the first, I'm not sure that's a privilege or a curse. In your at the beginning of your lecture, you talked about how one can map into some very simple shapes. I would guess from your experience or whatever your imagination, humans. And while I was listening before I lost consciousness, pardon me, I was eating grapes, and I happened to hold up 2 grapes, and before you started talking, these were grapes, and suddenly these 2 grapes, they were attracted to each other, and they started touching, rolling around. The stem ends contacted each other, and they decidedly had a life of their own. I felt quite excited to chew them up after their adventure. I find that was an interesting experience that was engendered by your at least introductory remarks. I've also done experiments with little plastic roly-poly eyes, gluing them on blank cards, and staring at them and seeing faces where there isn't even a mouth or nose, just 2 eyes. Changing the spacing on from one card to another, this being that I start to imagine gets bigger or smaller. And eventually,
yeah.
I tried three eyes, three in a row, or three triangular, and that was a very strange experience.
Yeah, the interesting thing is that I don't think we could have these kinds of imaginations like, yeah, years ago, like before computer, before the internet, because technology here teaches us to fantasize about things, and to fantasize doesn't mean to think about things that we cannot reach in reality, but instead to first of all, it comes before reality. I mean, it teaches us what we can be attracted to in reality.
Okay, yes. Kito Kamel has a question or remark?
Both, actually. I was going to try to make a corollary to the Arthur C. Clarke thing and say that I wonder if that means that when we can have sex with anyone in the world without long-distance charges, if we'll have a sexual revolution. Beyond that, if we need a topic for discussion, I was going to toss out a question that we've been asking people a lot in researching our project, but maybe make it specific to the topic of this conference, which is what are people sick of seeing or want to see more of in science fiction, I guess specifically to sexuality, technology, pornography, that kind of thing.
Okay, yes. May Seslaw?
Kind of in response to that question, and I think that this speaks to the talk we just heard from Sharing is Sexy, I think that one of the most important things that we can do is kind of to try to revolutionize our aesthetics and our modes of production. And I think that we've, you know, as technology gets cheaper and more accessible and as we just have more tools in the hands of more people, we start to kind of maybe democratize production in general to the point where these different aesthetics and different principles can come to light. And there's not so much a power structure that surrounds the production of science fiction or pornography just because everybody gets to do it. But I think what's important to keep in mind is that just because we, you know, there's no point in having millions of people writing the same five things and making the same five porno movies. And I think it's up to us to really take charge of where it needs to go and kind of breaking down these things. And one of the things I always kind of like, you know, keep on my wall or on a sticky note on my desktop when I'm working is Godard's, the point is not to make political films, but to make films politically. And I guess kind of to carry on with that, you know, how does everybody else see, you know, those principles playing out? And, you know, what can we do? Not to make a new canon, but to get rid of the principles of canon in general.
Okay, Steen?
Well, I think specifically, well, I guess generally one of the things that we've been seeing for the last couple of days is that we're doing a lot of moving sex beyond the body, and not only to fucking machines, but also to teledildonics, obviously. I mean, everything that we're seeing, I would say that a good portion of what we have seen across the last couple of days is all about disruption of the idea of the body, and that sex, which is at base a biological urge, and at base it's really about the body, we are doing something else entirely with it, and we're turning into this more abstract set of ideas, or not even necessarily abstract, I'm saying that wrong. I guess we're taking it away from the place where it was originally. And I think that when the radicalization that I think that you're referring to is going to come about with not only radical reconceptions of sexuality, but it's going to redefine our notion of what is the body and what is the self, because the self is obviously no longer the physical entity. And I think that once we strike at the notion of the self, so the root of the idea of the self, the physical entity, with, you know, something so close to home as sex, then it starts to sort of filter out into the other ideas that we have of notion of self as well. So we're kind of hitting at the foundation of the idea of self by talking about sex.
Also, if I may add in science fiction, what I'd like to see is what if we have sex as air? We've never thought about that, right? I talked about that just a little bit in my talk. I mean, we think about the body in radical ways, but all of them are still basically countable entities. We haven't actually gotten to the point where we are thinking of having sex as water or air, as an example.
Okay, yes. Karin Harrison?
I just would like to add that it's not like the loss of a physical body that was once there, some original body. I think that sexuality has always been totally artificial, and this whole idea of a self being physically rooted in one singular body is a very new idea. It's at least 200 years old, uh-huh. if ever. This whole idea of tying together personhood, the body, and sexuality in one identifiable entity that is called nature is a very fresh idea. So I think we're kind of reinventing ideas that were there for like thousands of years.
Melamikes?
In addition to Karin, and I hope I don't contradict her, is that not only this notion of the self and the body as something that has actually to do with each other, is also that when I think about the talks or pictures of the past 3 days, is that the idea of sex that we have is always in correspondence with the idea of romantic love that we have, and that is also a very fresh idea. So that people actually fall in love, and only those two is also 200 years, maybe. And the pictures we had and the ideas we had of who's having sex is always two people, right? And I liked the statement in the first talk that we also have to have places for people who are not interested in this sex that involves other people, right? I mean, why should sex involve other people at all? And also, what is pleasure? Is pleasure really what we see in pornography? What kind of pleasure is it, and all these layers? I think there's a lot of room to explore and to think about it.
Yeah, and Mila, you're also a Lacanian, I noticed here. So I think you've heard about the censorship of love by Slavoj Žižek. I think which is a very interesting concept, is because right now we see in porno movies, like the love part is censored, the sex part is exposed as fully as possible. You can show everything, but you can't show love at the same time as you show sex. That's also an interesting thing we have now with pornography, which is different from the notion of sex as a cause of romantic love.
Yeah, I think that something that maybe ties some of these ideas together is the question of porn or sex being more of a reflection of what's happening in society versus really imagining something new. So like I threw up number 6 there for a second, but I really think that Battlestar Galactica and the Sarah Connor Chronicles really reflect like a kind of social anxiety and processing of the disappearance of the real body. And they're constantly having these dialogues in both those shows about her passing as a real woman. Is she a real woman? Is she a real human? Can we torture the Cylons? Whatnot. Whereas I think something that's like hard about this discussion about revolution, but also about porn, is like that it's fucking hard thinking of something new. when I look at XTube, it's pretty much what you would expect, like endless blowjob videos. Or it's actually, when I look at XTube, it's mostly like ripped chapters from commercial porn DVDs uploaded to there. But then there's some like amateur porn that is all the same thing. But then Furry Girl said to me, if I can out you, in the comment section that there's a perfectly good reason that so much heteronormative porn is made, and that's because there's lots of people with money to pay for that stuff. So, yeah, that's like 5 points.
There's a term that's highly fascinating for me. I'd like to throw it here in the round. I'm highly fascinated by bacteria sex. I like bacteria, and I like looking of looking at them when they're like splitting and stuff. I mean, bacteria pretty much invented sex. I mean, they were the first things that had sex in a certain way. Still, there's lots of illusion between us and bacteria. And I wonder if I'd like to just like pop it up and ask the. I mean, Rudy Rucker talked a little bit about science fiction stories that involve like 7 or 8 sexes that have to go to meet to have like this seventh some whatever it is to replicate and stuff like that. But I like this idea of this primordial bacterium that's still somehow part of us in a certain way. I'm not sure if I could tell it, but I mean, yeah, there's one comment, okay?
Well, why would bacteria reproduce if they wouldn't feel like doing it? I mean, if they live by themselves, why would two of them combine in the way that we observe them to reproduce unless they desire to do it, unless it felt good?
And then there are strawberries. I mean, they're just like, I don't even know what's the English term for what strawberries do. They don't have sex. They just like tip layer. We should have a conference about tip laying. I like that. Okay, so I'm just babbling around. So any more comments? Okay, Steen.
One idea that I was thinking about the whole time that I was expecting somebody to talk about, but no one ever actually did, was, well, okay, I didn't see all the talks, so maybe someone did, so please correct me if I missed this, but we biologically have been traditionally split into male and female, and we have, for many, many years, we have basically two genders. And now the notion of gender has come to get more convoluted and detailed as we get, you know, homosexuality and polyamory and that sort of notion. So what I'm wondering is, are we going to come to a point where we have, again, strictly delineated notions of you are this gender, you are that gender, but moving beyond what we have now? I mean, are we going to wind up with, like, what Rudy Rucker was saying about the 7 different genders? Are we going to have, like, you know, heterosexual male, homosexual male, heterosexual female, homosexual male, robosexual female, or whatever? Are we going to wind up with another strictly delineated process, or are we going to just continue this sort of, like, I think we've got a lot of very vague ideas right now, and that's great. I don't think we need to define ourselves, but I'm wondering if culturally we will need to define ourselves in such a way that we